Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up, people? This your boy Flex from Jersey, here with my guy Saul Bookman. Another episode of the PHNX Old Heads. We about to get into it today, Saul. We're going to have some fun with this one. I know you're going to like this one, brother.
Yeah, all right, I'm excited for this one. When we were talking about this before the show started, I was like, ooh, okay, all right.
Yeah, this going to be a little spicy, man. So we all know we had to interview the press conference yesterday with Mr. Matt Ishbia and James Jones. And there's just been a lot of controversy about that and how they're talking about the offseason and potential changes. And so I thought it'd be fun to see what GM Saul Bookman would do. You know, GM Saul, GM Flex, if we were controlling this basketball team, man, based on what you know, based on what you've seen, based on what you think is on the table, potential changes this year, what would you do? What would GM Saul Bookman do to fix this mess that we got out here in Phoenix?
Oh, I got some simple solutions right here.
Okay, let me hear.
Listen, I agree with keeping the big three together.
Okay.
I think another year will go a long way, but I don't agree with keeping the big three with the same coaching staff. So my first move would be to replace Frank Vogel with either Ty Lue, if he becomes available.
I love it.
Or I'm gonna go the pop route.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go Becky Hammon.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. I think if I had my choice of the two, I would probably lean more Becky Hammon, because I think, first of all, she's won two championships at the WNBA level with, you know, in dominating fashion. She's got a pedigree under Pop. She's one of the best basketball players of all time herself. And I mean, I think that whole package, I think players respect her. I think if you talk to the San Antonio Spurs players that played with Pop and her as an assistant coach, they would tell you they have an immense amount of respect for her knowledge of the game, the way she breaks it down. And really, to me, you have to command a room.
Yeah.
And Becky Hammon, to me, does not fuck around. So that would be my first move.
I love that. So let's stay on this path here. My first move is coach, right? I agree with you. Man, you threw a curveball at me, brother. That's a good one. You know what? If I were the general manager of the Phoenix Suns and I had an opportunity to sit down with Becky Hammon, I'd absolutely do that. You nailed it. I mean, she's one of the greatest WNBA players ever. She can command that locker room. She's got the Pop pedigree. So, you know, there's respect. And I just feel like her personality in general would be a great fit with this locker room, because you've been around the game. You play the game, man. Basketball knowledge is easy to understand when you're in front of someone that knows basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's easy to buy into a certain culture when you know that somebody has a resume like that. You're not sitting in a room as an assistant with Greg Popovich if you don't know basketball.
Exactly.
Period. So you can't tell me, Devin Booker, you can't tell me you're going to say something to Becky Hammon, bro. She's one of the greatest basketball minds ever. KD, Beal, all that stuff. So
the first thing she would have to say is how many championships you won.
All exactly. Right,
that's it.
That's it, dog. No, that's real, man. That's it. And she's doing it at their level. She's doing that at a pro level. You're right. I've actually had conversations with people about Becky like a couple years back. and the players love her, bro. Like they run through a brick wall. So I you know, damn, Saul, you might have already solved the coaching search on my end because I'm sitting down.
I got more.
The two you nailed are guaranteed. I'm talking to Ty Lue. I'm talking to Becky Hammon. And I know this may not be popular, man, but I've been making phone calls. This may not be popular.
Are you going to say who I think you're going to say?
I think you know where I'm going to go with this, man. Believe me, in the last week, I brought this up multiple times just to get an opinion, just to talk to people and say, what would this look like? Like, what would this look like? What do you think? And to my surprise, so I was doing this more as a trying to read the temperature of the room. And to my surprise, man, everyone thought that JJ Redick is a really good person to talk to in this situation. And again, I went into open-minded because I like JJ. I think he's a really good basketball mind. You can tell by the way he goes about his business off the court in media that he's in now. You just know he's a good basketball mind. But I wonder now, because I will say this, so every great coach was a first-time coach. At some point, we didn't know who Popovich was, right? At some point, we didn't know who Phil Jackson was. They all had to start somewhere. What I get from JJ is that he understands this new era of basketball. That's what I kept hearing. It's like, yo, this guy understands the new era of basketball. He understands the dynamics of getting up more threes. He understands the dynamics of being able to walk in the locker room and say, man, I'm asking you to do something that I can physically still go do, probably. You know what I mean? So I would, if I had to rank him, I'd say Ty Lue 1, absolutely Becky Hammon 2, and I would have to have a conversation with JJ, especially if you're going to add, which I we'll get into it another episode, but I think there's going to be some people that are going to become available this summer that might blow the internet up.
well,
go ahead. You want to talk? Go ahead.
We still haven't figured out this problem, right? So I got a couple of. Well,
I'm sorry. You're right. We can't skip the coaching. So let's go to your adjustments. Basketball adjustments.
So you mentioned JJ Redick. I would be on board with JJ Redick if he was vetted, everybody felt comfortable with him, and more importantly, and here's my second change.
Okay.
You move the coaches. And to me, I think it just personally, I like James Jones. Mm-hmm. I do. I think he's done a good job. But I do think that there are some glaring holes in what he evaluates and how he perceives a franchise and how they should operate that I feel like are going to handcuff the Suns more than just these next couple years. And by that, I understand the thought process when they were talking about, like, what you want us to, you know, harvest picks for this 2031 class with a seventh grader that we saw down the street. You know, right. I get that. But at the same time, there has been some glaring omissions from his draft history in the recent past that he has missed on. And the most notably, obviously, is taking Jalen Smith over a Tyrese Halliburton. And I don't give a damn if Tyrese didn't want to come to Phoenix and he didn't want it. No, I don't give a shit about any of that. Like, you got to make the pick. You got to make a pick that's best for your franchise. Tyrese Halliburton was right there for the taking. You didn't take him. And now you're a franchise desperate for a point guard. So I think I would switch out James Jones and I would bring in Bob Myers. I think that is just too good to be true. This guy is available. Obviously, one of the chief architects of the Golden State Warriors dynasty. And more importantly, the culture that was built when Bob Myers was there in that facility and understanding and getting to know players on a very deep level to understand what makes them tick. Why are they the way they are? What makes them happy? What makes them upset? What makes them mad? Those kind of things, I think, is grossly undervalued in this franchise right now. I think Matt Ishbia came in here and he's talking about culture and we're going to be about family and we're going to be about all these other things. And I think that's great, but you have to have all the pieces working in the same direction that see the same vision as you. And I don't know if James Jones is necessarily on that same page. I think James Jones has got his own ideas about what he's seen in his own past, winning championships with LeBron and so. And I don't know if that really fits what the Suns are trying to get accomplished right now. So I think X's and O's wise, my ranking would be Becky Hammon. And then next up would be Ty Lue. And then third would be JJ Redick. And then over here, I would replace James Jones with Bob Myers, because I think you need a culture setter across the board to not only do what he did in Golden State, but also teach from a high level, a championship culture to guys like Matt Ishbia and Josh Bartlestein to let them know, like, hey, I know what you thought the path was. This is how it looks at the executive level when you try to put this all together instead of what James Jones did as a player and then tried to replicate as an executive. I think those are two wildly different things. And in my opinion, that's the change I'd make.
Wow. Okay. So
I've been thinking about this a lot, man.
you know, it's crazy. Again, I got to remind people, we don't rehearse this. We just throw out topics and we come out here and we give it to you raw and uncut here. So, that's my second move. Bob Myers, stop doing TV, stop talking, and come get this organization back on track. My only adjustment I would do to that is I keep James around. I just reassign him. That's what I would do. I bring in Bob Myers and say, hey, this is your show. You run everything. There's a new thing going on in the NBA that I like to talk, because I think you touched on this a little bit.
Okay.
There's a new thing going on in the NBA that I'm seeing in front offices specifically. And it's they calling them player whisperers, right? These are the guys that are in the front office, but they have a deep-rooted connection with the players. They have respect in all kind of different angles. And these are the guys that are making these interesting phone calls in the middle of the night, you know, hey, man, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'll tell you a guy that was a player whisperer for the San Antonio Spurs that we all know. We know him now. He's well known. But back then, nobody knew he was really doing this. Ime Udoka. Okay. So Ime Udoka was behind the scenes with the Spurs. He was a little bit of their player whisperer. And you know who he is now. But I still think James Jones can be that type of guy for the Suns in some ways. And you know, go ahead. Talk.
I'm going to say two things, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up your, you know what?
Yeah.
First, I think that might be too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Bob Myers, James Jones, and Josh Bartlestein all in the same office. Like that's a little much.
Okay.
And Flex, I've known you for what now, about 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten to know you pretty well over the last, you know, really the last 9 months, as you know, working side by side and really getting to know what your DNA is all about, the things you tell me that are going on behind the scenes and things of that nature, brother. If there was ever a role that was tailor suited for Flex from Jersey, it would be player whisperer. I mean, am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And listen to me, Saul.
I'm telling you, if you guys knew some of the shit that Flex has had to go through in the last 9 months, boy, you would know what I'm talking about, because my guy is locked in.
I appreciate that, brother. And I tell you what, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that might be part of some of my motivation behind this. Because I know there's jobs out there for people doing what I try to do.
So. Hey, man, I'll tell you this, just so we can clear the air.
Yeah.
If Flex left PHNX to go work for the Phoenix Suns, there is zero anger or upsetness on our part. We are rallying behind him and cheering him on and hoping that he's part of the first Suns championship in franchise history. I promise you that.
Man, I love it. So I love it, brother. That's why we family, man. That's funny you say that though, brother. I gotta think more about this now that you say that.
Get that resume ready, man.
Get that resume ready. No, but you nailed it with Bob Myers, man. I think it's a must. I actually do think it's a must, but I do agree with you. There may be too many cooks in the kitchen, too many, you know. So I think it's important that when you do it, it's very clear, like, hey, we're running through Bob and you guys have defined roles and you're going to do what you're going to do. But I think it needs a reset. I think it needs a reset in the front office. I think we need a reset at the coaching spot. And I'm going to tell you something, Saul, and we're saying this right on old heads. I haven't said this on the show yet. I'd be shocked if we get through the weekend and Frank isn't fired. I'd be shocked. Okay. I really would. Okay, so this is Thursday, yep. 7:15.
So if you're hearing this on Saturday morning, it's already happened, then you know why.
There you go. So I'd be shocked. The conversations are happening as we speak. You know, there aren't too many people Matt got to talk to, man. Really, it's a pretty simple thing. There's going to be four or five conversations, and then I believe it's time for a move, which is why you didn't get that vote of confidence in that press conference yesterday. They did everything but that. Right. And so now let me ask you this, though. So let's say we're going to take your path, because your path and my path are very similar. Mm-hmm. And if I had to sign on to your path, I'd do it right now. Let's just say, hypothetically, Bob Myers comes in. We got Becky Hammons, you know, whichever one you prefer. You prefer Ty Lue?
Let's go Ty Lue. Let's go
Ty Lue. Okay, so we got Bob Myers.
For a very specific reason.
Okay, I got to hear this now. So is Ty Lue, talk to me about the basketball team. What are you doing now with Bob Myers and Ty Lue?
Because of relationships with Ty Lue and other players in the league, it is my listen, the Suns need a point guard. Yeah. And they, because of the structure of their team and Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, especially in the backcourt, getting another point guard that might be, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and under just does not fit the bill.
That's right.
So somebody might opt out of their contract, and it was already rumored that it's likely that LeBron is going to opt out of his contract. I'm just saying it makes too much sense. Because you need a leader, you need a point guard, you need somebody that can get facilitate and just be a good all-around player. Plus, he just happens to be one of the GOATs of all time. I mean, it would be an epic failure. You thought this year was a failure. It would be an epic failure if a team of LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal could not bring a title. I don't give a damn if LeBron is 50. He's good enough to facilitate. Right. And get everybody to raise their level. To me, that's the no-brainer move. Now, the caveat is it's highly likely that you're going to have to take Bronny James.
Yes.
And if you have to take Bronny James, the Suns only have one draft pick this year. You're taking a major, major risk slash leap to bring in Bronny James as the 22nd overall pick in the first round when he really doesn't even grade out as a second-round pick.
That's correct.
To your franchise. But if it's going to bring LeBron, you do it. You do it. And I know there's a lot of people out there on social that are already hating that idea. But if you're hating that idea, it's like you haven't watched this team this season. Who could better fit all those pieces together than LeBron James?
100%.
Nobody.
Nobody. Dog, let's talk about this now. We're going down this rabbit hole.
I'm about to double down, too.
Doubling down? Okay, so you want me to go or you want me to let you double down?
Okay, let me double down real quick.
Go ahead.
So not only do you bring LeBron, because now your starting five is set.
So let's recap that.
You take Grayson to the bench.
Okay.
So who's your
starting five? Tell me.
You got Book, Beal, LeBron, KD, Nurk.
Okay.
Okay. That's your starting five. Coming off the bench.
Okay.
You got Grayson. You keep Bol Bol.
Okay. I like it.
And you bring Chris Paul back because now you got it at every level, baby. There ain't no more point guard problems in this hood.
Saul, listen. Listen to me. No lies detected. I'm telling you right now. Let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about this a little bit. I've said this on other shows. This is dating back 2 years ago. I believe the summer that Kevin Durant was trying to angle to Phoenix, LeBron James was having real conversations about Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I can tell everybody right now, the connection to LeBron and Phoenix is not new. This is something that has been kind of poking around for quite some time. It's just hard to get things like this done. So you got a $51.4 million player option. The Lakers go public the other day. And I'm trying to paint the picture for the people listening here so they can understand that every word that just came out of your mouth is possible. So LeBron's got this $51.4 player option. He says he wants to think about it. They have a $136 million extension waiting for him. He says he needs time with his family to think. The Lakers follow up by saying, well, hey, we'll take Bronny James in the draft. LeBron follows up by making sure that he gets his point across and says, my interest is not playing with Bronny anymore. So what I see happening now is a game of chicken. It's LeBron James basically saying, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to do what's right for me. And if I put the Lakers into this corner, hey, if you draft Bronny, that's on your court. Doesn't mean I'm staying, right? I will say this on record. I believe LeBron James is going to retire a Laker or find his way out here to the Valley. I don't see any other situation where LeBron will be okay with leaving the Lakers. And so if he opts out, there's nothing saying he can't take a vet minimum and come here and break the internet, brother. Oh, break the internet. We will have a cool man. The summer we will have, brother. It's interesting. Talk to me.
I know a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, would he really sacrifice $126 million or whatever, right? I get that, but he's also worth over $1 billion, right? Yep. If there was, listen, the money to him right now has, the sacrifice of the money has to be worth the squeeze, right? So yep. The juice has got to be worth the squeeze. And if you're telling me, A, I might be able to play with my son on a team. I might be able to play with my boys over in Phoenix, Book, Chris Paul,
KD,
KD, Bradley Beal, and my son's on the team. Like, what? And then you throw in Bob Myers into the mix. And if you did somehow, and even if Bob Myers didn't go, okay, so you kept James Jones. Who's tighter with James Jones than anybody else? Like LeBron James. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see the path to where it could happen. And I know it sounds outrageous, but damn, it was outrageous that we might even get KD back in the day.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It was outrageous that we might even get Chris Paul back in the day. It was outrageous that we wouldn't even get Brad Beal last year.
Right.
Like, so... Who's to say that it's impossible?
It's not. So, you know, I had this conversation earlier today, and I'll tell you what I said. Two different players. I don't want to get people twisted. Understand what I'm gonna say here. This guy I'm about to mention has never been LeBron James, never been anywhere near LeBron James. But I remember sitting in my house. And, you know, Saul, you know, the bat in the summertime, I'm always on phone calls. I'm always talking, even when I was out I was out on the East Coast. And I remember, dude, sitting on my couch and getting an alert. And they're like, did you see this? And I'm like, what? And they're like, DeMarcus Cousins just signed with the Golden State Warriors for $5 million.
Yep.
And he was the number one free agent that class. He turned down $180 million that summer. To sign a five-year, $5 million deal to go team up and make that super team a more super team. Now, wasn't a good move for DeMarcus.
Mostly because KD got hurt too, though.
Correct. KD got hurt, and he wasn't able to kind of reestablish his grasp where he was. But, man, at that point in time, if you went back and you looked at the career earnings for DeMarcus Cousins at that moment, when he took $5 million, it's laughable to think LeBron won't be able to do that when he's got a $1 billion lifetime contract with Nike, right? You know, you just saw in professional sports in general, you just saw Shohei Ohtani basically say, pay me $1 million a year for 10 years and I'll get that money later, right? Yep. So the example is being set right in LA, right in front of him. To think that he won't, this is what the question comes up being. Do you value more money or do you want to be in the conversation with Mike and Kobe? And the only way you get in that real conversation with Mike and Kobe is you got to get that fifth ring. You got four. You get that fifth ring, changes everything. I still think LeBron's in that conversation. I don't mean to diss him like that. But I'm just saying you have that crowd that always says, well, six is more than five. Five is more than four. So if you don't get that fifth one, dog, don't talk to me about Mike or Kobe. Yeah. Well, you can come to Phoenix and you could probably get five. And
there's also one other thing that would help LeBron's legacy. Okay. Now we know he went to Miami and he got the ships. He got two championships over there. That's cool. He went to LA, got a championship. But the separator was he went to Cleveland and gave them their first championship. And we're, you know, and in this day and era of switching teams all the time, you know, LeBron has kind of been the bell cow for that. Now, with that being said, if he was able to give two franchises their first championships of all time, that is on another level. That is, he has singled himself out as one of the most unique GOATs of all time. And to me, as a hardcore Michael Jordan fan, I think at that point in time, I would finally put him on the same level as Mike. Because to me, he's still a little bit below. But even with five championships, playing at the age of 40, 41 years old at that time, yeah, to bring the Phoenix Suns their first championship, mark it down.
You know why it works too, Saul? This is the part that no one's talking about. You know why it works and you know why it helps LeBron narrative? Because they just got swept in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't like he's doing this and coming to a team that was like knocking on the door.
They got one win. They got one win.
Who? No, I'm talking about the Suns. Like,
oh, yeah. I got you.
You know, the Suns this year got swept. Mm-hmm. And so you can't tell me, oh, he went to a super team. But super team got swept in the first round. What are you talking about? I was the guy that made it work. I mean, that, you know, it's a lot different. No shot to KD, but when KD went over there, that team won 73 wins. You know, they won 73 games and they had already won a championship. And so that's why people keep pounding on the KD thing. This is LeBron saying, y'all never won. And y'all three were there together. Y'all didn't win. Y'all didn't get past the first round. Shit, you didn't win a game in the first round. So if I come here next year and I win a championship, that's my damn championship, brother. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yep.
But you're 100% right. Bob Myers, Ty Lue, I think you have the LeBron conversation. I think don't be shocked. We're letting you know on the old heads right now. Buckle up because you're going to hear a lot about it. But I guess, you know, from my angle, I'm with you. You're not going to find a point guard, dog. You're not going to find a point guard. You're not going to find a point guard. You can get a backup point guard that might be able to, you know, take 8 to 10 minutes a game or 10 to 12 minutes a game. Maybe Chris Paul, you know. But at the end of the day, a guy like LeBron can solve all your problems. And if you don't have to sacrifice much to get him and he's willing to take that type of a risk, you gotta at least look at it. So that's what I'm doing, brother. New coach, bring Bob into the front office. Definitely get a guy that can get the team set at the point guard position. And I think my only thing, did you have another player personnel move that you liked?
No, that was about it.
The last one I would say is, and I think we're gonna see them explore this a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if the Suns reset their center position completely this summer. And this isn't a shot at Nurk.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of, I think they're looking at two variations. They're saying, you know, we want to get a center that can attack the rim, that can be a lob threat. And they don't have that. And you also need a center that can maybe stretch the floor a little bit and hit some threes.
Okay.
We ain't got that. Okay. So I think
that part, I was like, okay. The first part, I was like, bro, they just got rid of one.
Oh. Dog. I mean, it's crazy to think about, man. Some of these mistakes the Suns, you know, like you said, a Tyrese one.
Campaign being let go for no damn reason.
For no reason.
What?
Exactly. That some of these things are mind blowing. But there's a way to fix it. You know, there's a way to fix it. I think if you can get a rim runner. If you can reset the center position and you can get Nurk, you know, you move Nurk out, you get either a stretch four, a stretch five or a rim rolling five. And then maybe through a vet minimum, you get the other one, right? So you find a way to get one using Nurk, and then you use the vet minimum way to get the other one. I think that works. Even with the 22nd pick, if God forbid you had to use that, go ahead.
Or. I'm trying to get my cake and eat it too, right?
Ahead,
I want it all.
Let's go.
Or you take Yves Missi from Baylor at number 22.
I love that.
And Bronny says, you can sign me or draft me if you want to, but I ain't going there. And he becomes an undrafted free agent and then the Suns sign him. Got it all, baby.
It's doable, brother. I'll tell you another scenario that I like. It's funny you say that. I think if this were to come to fruition and you got some type of inclination at LeBron, okay, he's saying, hey man, I may go. What about consolidating? What about saying, hey, you know what? I got the 22nd pick. I'll trade the 22nd pick. You give me something and a second. And in a second, I take LeBron, right? Yeah. I mean, LeBron.
Bron,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like your idea. That's what I'm saying. I think the Suns have ways to get creative that people aren't even looking at right now, where you can have your cake and eat it too. And so I think they have more options than people think. I know the press conference didn't go like people thought. But at the end of the day, I like a lot of what I heard. I heard two individuals that I think feel like, forget feel like, I think they know that there are some things behind the scenes that can happen this summer to get this thing back on the rails. And I'm all for it. So is that where we at with the player adjustments and the Saul Bookman GM?
I think so, man. I think so. Listen,
I'm giving you an A+, brother.
Listen, I know there might be a lot of eye rolls out there. Listen, this is all make-believe right now. Yeah. We ain't pulling any triggers. We ain't the ones calling the shots. That's but right. A man can dream, can he? So let's see if it can happen, because I didn't think half those moves that have happened in the last half a decade were going to happen, and they all did, and it's just unbelievable. So you can never question or doubt what is possible in the NBA. Like Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible.
It's possible, baby. You're 100%, man. All right, so we're going to have a little bit more fun. We got a little bit more time here.
Let's do it.
We are going to talk about, we've been hearing a lot in the national media, and we saw it firsthand, Minnesota Timberwolves versus Phoenix Suns first round. And there was some chatter about Anthony Edwards. And there were people in the media that said, hey, man, Anthony Edwards reminds me of 89 Michael Jordan. Right. And so we haven't had time to really chop this up. I knew this was an old heads thing. I'm like, this is right down the old heads alley, because we actually saw Michael Jordan play. And so I got a question for you. Here's what I want to do. I want to pick a couple players around the NBA that remind you of players that we grew up watching in the old days. And I want you to kind of tell me, who's the guy you got an eye on? First of all, I want you to answer the Michael Jordan, Anthony Edwards thing. I got to give you that time to tell me what you think about that comparison. And I'll tell you what I think about that comparison. And then I want to throw a couple names out there, guys that we're currently looking at that remind you of some of the all-time greats, or guys that can be compared to each other. You want to start off with Anthony Edwards and Michael Jordan?
Let's start off with Anthony Edwards and his playoff stats from this year. Okay. Because I think what's happening right now is people are going off of what they just saw instead of what is actually happening.
Okay.
And when you're looking at Anthony Edwards, his last game he had 40 plus, and I think he had one other game where he had 30.
Yeah.
And the other two games he was below 20 points. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan averaged 35 a game that season. And on top of that, that's the whole playoffs, not just the first round. That's the whole playoff, right? And if you remember that season, he had to go up against the Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boys. And those dudes were trying to take his head off every single time he went to the basket. What's Anthony Edwards having to deal with? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And also, he was dealing with, pardon my language, he was dealing with a broke dick defense too. Like, dudes just leaving guys wide open all day long. When I watched Anthony Edwards, and listen, he's talented. I think he's an amazing watch. I think he's phenomenal. But there was no time during his run in that game four in the second half where he was hitting shots that I was like, damn.
Right.
Like, how did he even get that off? You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing like that. Whereas with Mike, it was like, that was constant. That was constant. All the time. You know what I mean? They made rules off of it. The Jordan rules. Because of that. So, like, miss me with that shit. Like, come to me when he's playing against, like, one of the best defenses left in the league and tell me how he does then, okay? Until then, stop. That's my opinion on that.
I'm with you, dog. You know, it's blasphemy. It's crazy, Saul.
It's disrespectful.
It is. It is. To me, I felt disrespected when I heard it. Because I'm like, man, hey, hold on, man. We're talking about Michael Jordan here. Like, man, it hurts my soul to hear somebody say Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan. Are there times, Saul, where I look at a particular play, a moment in a game, and I'll say, oh, that, you know, I can see that he watched tape on Jordan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a move here or there. But that's no different than I talk about our guy. It's no different than Devin Booker. You know, I've always heard this, Devin Booker's the next Kobe Bryant. And I'll say, listen, there are times where you can look at the tape and you can look at the film and it's obvious that Devin studied Kobe. But do they play that much alike? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I really don't. I'll take it one step further. I've always thought Devin Booker was more Brandon Roy than he is Kobe Bryant. Like, I love Brandon Roy.
Bro, I agree. Wholeheartedly, I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's be honest about the conversation. Let's not be biased about it. I'm flattered when I hear somebody say, hey, man, Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant, because you know he's doing something right. Mm-hmm. But if I'm being honest, I got a hard time when we do these comparisons, because I'm like, man, if you didn't sit there and live through Michael Jordan shit and see what he had to go through and how good that dude was and how you could clothesline that dude and he had to get back up and fight through it and 94 feet of holding and grabbing and clutching. Like, come on, man. This is a different basketball. So, no, Anthony Edwards is not Michael Jordan. I this is where I'll leave it. So the best thing I'll do, the best compliment I'll give Anthony Edwards right now is he reminds me of Vince Carter. That's what I'm going. I see more Vince Carter than I see Michael Jordan. And what I mean by that is, you know, there was a time, I challenge people listening to this. If you listen to this, guys, do yourself a favor. Go back and look at some vintage Vince Carter with the Raptors and look at what he was able to do. I thought Vince for three, four years was, oh, my God, incredible. I didn't think he was Michael Jordan, but I thought he was very talented, super athletic, and was able to get shots similar to Anthony Edwards. Like, you know, Anthony Edwards hitting his head on the rim, shit, that reminds me of Vince Carter, yeah. Right? That's the type of athleticism we're talking about. Vince was more electric and more explosive, right? But Anthony Edwards has moments where I remember seeing Vince take over games, particularly the Phoenix Suns against Penny Hardaway and the Suns, backcourt 2000. I remember that game like it was yesterday. Vince Carter had 55 in that game and was hitting every jump shot, fadeaway three. Vince was terrific. So that's the highest I'll go. Vince Carter, first ballot Hall of Famer, by the way. This isn't a disrespectful take. I see more Vince Carter than I do Michael Jordan.
I think Anthony Edwards is a little bit of a better all-around player than Vince Carter.
Agree.
But yeah, physically, I mean, nobody's going to match up with Vince. But yeah, I see the style and the look. For me, I'm gonna go with a different team. Nobody here on the Suns. Because every time I watch this kid, I'm like, damn, why do I feel like this? So I'm going to go with Kyrie.
Okay, hold on. This is fun. You know I love this shit with you. This is fun. Hold on. So you're picking Kyrie Irving, and then you're going to give the comparison.
Yes.
You're going to say who he reminds
you. Yes, yes.
All right, I'm going to go ahead. I can't wait to hear this. Go.
It's a hybrid. It's a hybrid of two guys.
Okay.
But every single time I watch Kyrie, I can't help but shake the things that I remember seeing from these two guys when they were playing in the league at the same time.
Okay.
To me, and it makes sense for one of them because actually both of them, because they both played on the East Coast for a while. One, Kenny Anderson. The other one, Rod Strickland. And I mentioned those guys before. God. But the way Rod was just smooth with the ball and kind of glided around the court and the behind-the-back dribble. Kyrie has that stop behind-the-back dribble that Rod Strickland has, right?
Yeah.
Kenny Anderson was just so creative with the ball. His handles, like he was one of the first ones, him and Tim Hardaway were one of the first ones that would just try to break you down with their dribble. And then like next thing you know, they were by you and you didn't even realize what was happening. You know what I mean? Like they were so smooth with it. Kyrie is the best ball handler. And I've said this a million times. I think from a skill set position, he is the best player of all time skill wise I've ever seen offensively, ever. Handle, shooting, pass, it doesn't matter. He could do everything on the court with ease, The thing about like Michael Jordan, athletic ability, could shoot, could play defense, one of the greats of all time. But Kyrie's skill set is unmatched.
Unmatched, bro. Unmatched. And Kyrie went to my high school. I saw young Kyrie. I'll be honest with you. I never in a million years thought young Kyrie would become what he became.
Same. I remember destroying his Duke team with my Arizona Wildcats, and I was like, man, Kyrie's overrated. And then I saw him in the league, and I was like, oh, exactly. Never mind.
you know what? You know what, Saul? I love that you went Kyrie here. You know, we talk boxing sometimes. Every now and then we'll talk boxing. I'm a big boxing guy. And so if you know boxing, you follow boxing, you always hear people say pound for pound. You constantly hear that, right? You got heavyweights, you got middleweights, you got lightweights, and to shrink it, who's the top five fighters pound for pound. So you take all the height, weight out of it. This is what I'm seeing. I will go on record saying Kyrie might be the best pound for pound player I've ever seen. Pound for pound. Just like take all the other stuff out of it. What he can do handling the basketball, his ability to finish with both hands. He's also the best finisher I've ever seen at the rim at that size. He can finish with anybody. He finishes consistently.
If you didn't know Kyrie was right-handed and you saw him shoot a shot with the left hand, you'd think he was left-handed. That's how good he is.
That's how good he is, man. So I love that. So, again, you're touching my soul right now because you said Rod Strickland and Kenny Anderson. You know, they're my New York boys. Yeah. So I remember in high school, my brother going to watch Kenny Anderson play high school ball, and that guy was ahead of his time. It was like, what am I watching? This guy's a Maserati as a junior in high school playing against New York City.
packed gyms, packed courts, anywhere Kenny Anderson went. It was a show.
It was a show, bro. Like, I remember being at Mount Vernon High School watching, you know, Jamal Mashburn in the state championship drop 45 and 20. And these are the days we're talking about. And yo, Kenny Anderson, wow, bro. So I'm with you, dog. I'm not arguing that. I'm with you. So here's the thing. I'm going to do a little hybrid too. Okay. This is one that I don't know if, see, I like to look at players and I look at what their impact is right now in the league and kind of base that with a guy that I felt had a similar impact. So I got one guy that I've been paying close attention to, and it's John Morant. It's John Morant. Okay. So we haven't seen John sometime, but he's always been a case study for me. He's a guy that I've always been fascinated with. Because I look at Ja Morant, and I've heard this rumor before. Not a rumor. I've heard this statement before. People are like, you know, Ja Morant's Allen Iverson. And, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, man, AI was my guy. I don't quite see Allen Iverson and Ja Morant. But, and I don't know how far you want to go back, but here's what I do see. Ja Morant, to me, is a combination of a guy that I grew up in, again, New York, Stephon Marbury, okay? So when I look at Ja Morant, I see flashes of Stephon Marbury. I see the explosiveness, the quick first step, the burst at the rim, the ability to finish at the rim. You know, people underestimate my boy Steph. My boy Steph is 20-8 for his career. That's a damn near 20-10 point guard. Say what you want about Stephon Marbury. He was pretty damn good. And I see a little Derrick Rose in Ja Morant, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's my hybrid. I look at Ja Morant, I'm like, man, this kid's special. This kid is talented. If he can get out of his own way, you have a mixture of a Stephon Marbury electric with that Derrick Rose ability to make things happen at the rim with the athleticism. And so he's a guy that I've always been fascinated with. I don't know how much you like Ja Morant. I hate the off the court stuff, but when I watch him on tape, he got a little bit of that New York feel to me. And that's why I lean towards Ja a little bit. What do you think about Stephon Marbury and Derrick Rose as a hybrid of a Ja Morant?
I love that comparison. Much? No, I love that comparison. Okay. I would almost even throw in maybe a little bit, just a little bit of Jamal Crawford, just a little bit. I think maybe because my mind keeps going to the physical side of things.
Okay.
I would say that, but no, I think that's a great comparison, especially Rose because of his explosiveness. You know, John Morant will try to dunk on anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what you want to see. And so I love that comparison. So I think that's spot on, man. Okay. So I got one out of left field.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with one of my former Arizona Wildcats who plays for the Utah Jazz, Lauri Markkanen.
Ooh. Okay?
Every time I've seen Lauri Markkanen, I kept thinking, man, who would he be like back in the day? And the guy that I keep going back to is if Tom Gugliotta played in today's game, he would be Tom Gugliotta.
He would.
I mean, Googs, man. I mean, bro. I remember this story, and I don't know if you heard about this.
Talk to me.
But when he was playing with the Timberwolves, they get to New York City. They're going to play the Knicks. They had a day off in between.
Okay.
And so Tom is walking down the street. Now, this is urban legend. I don't know if this is really true or not, but okay. This is the story I heard. He's walking down the street, and he goes to a park. And okay. He's like, and these dudes are running. And he's just like, you know what? I'm a ball. This is in the middle of the season. And he goes to the park, and these dudes don't want to pick him up because he's a white guy. Like, okay. They're like, nah, man. These
get
guys.
Get out of here, whatever, man.
Right? Yeah. So finally, he gets on the court. He plays. He gets on the court. The first time he touches the ball, he pulls up from half court. Net.
Get
and these dudes
here.
Are like, what? You know what I mean? He goes out there and just rips them. Plays one game, rips them. Scores like more than half of his team's points with ease. Nobody could guard him. And so he picks up his stuff. He's walking out. And they're like, hey, man, you going to be back tomorrow? He's like, nah, man, I got to play the Knicks. And he takes off.
I can see it, dog. I can see it.
Such a low-key great player.
Fantastic.
And Lowry Markkanen is on that path as well.
Because
of the freedom of the game today, I really feel like Googs could have done the same thing Lowry Markkanen is doing today in today's game.
Bro, you blew my mind with that one. Because no, listen. Because that's what we want this to be. We don't want this to be what you're not going to hear nobody bring up Tom Gugliotta on another show.
Nope.
Right? But this is real. If you a hoop head and you an old head, that's what this podcast is. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to connect the dots between the old and the new. And Tom Gugliotta was terrific, dog. I don't think people understand how good Tom Gugliotta is. And especially out here, I think when we got him after the McDice debacle, we got him. It was a little bit. I think he had a knee injury. It was
towards the end of his run.
But I mean, young Googs. Oh my God, bro, could do everything.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I'll tell you about Googs. Ahead of his time, played in the wrong NBA. If you take that Googs and put him dead smack into our era right now, that guy's a max basketball player. Similar to my guy, Tim Thomas. I've told you this numerous times. Timmy was born in the wrong time. If Tim Thomas played in this new NBA and was coming out of Villanova, you know, right now with that skill set, he's a max star in this new NBA.
Hey, yo, Flex, that was fantastic. That was fun. I really appreciate it, man. That was another episode of the Old Heads. That's my guy, Flex from Jersey. I'm Saul from Chandler, from Tucson, from Cordis, from Prescott, whatever you want to say. You can go follow me at Saul_Bookman. You can follow him at Flex from Jersey. You can follow the show at PHNX_Suns. Until next time, peace.